Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Don't Brass that starts right here, right now, for the first day of April. Happy April Fools 2020. The year that many people say, you know, let's reset this year. It started with a virus. Let's reset and go again, or stop 2020. Let me get off. Many people not loving 2020 as much as we has expected. You know, they say, man plans and God laughs. Well, ha, ha, ha. Many people thought 2020, the big year, you know, we gathering, U.S. election campaign, and big things are gone. But Mother Nature definitely had a different plan. Now, I want to talk to the country about the situation with the employees. So I want to hear from somebody. I'm trying to reach somebody from Barbados Workers Union so that we can have them on the course of the program, hopefully earlier than later. My producer will work with me to get that done. I obviously want to talk about this lockdown, this new thing that just cropped up in terms of this message going around about the lockdown, whether it's authentic or not. I also want to touch in on this burning appeal. So there's lots to talk about. The calls are coming in. Of course, the WhatsApp continue to roll in. And I don't know if I wanted to start with an extempo or tell Michelle, drop the tune and let me fling it down. So I don't know if the callers behave well this morning, cashier me, drop an extempo tune for them. I gotta get Crystal, come and send me a line or two, or I can paint something original. But I want to start with this in all seriousness. When I was at law school, Matt Finger had a saying that ignorance is the most serious disease. And years later, I understand. Because ignorance almost is like a greater disease than the disease itself. I want to look at the thought people may have in terms of those who are not complying with the lockdown. And I don't want to excuse anybody. I want to explain. Now, I did hear snippets of yesterday. I wasn't able to hear the press conference from Czar Carter. But I just want to give my take on it, as is my prerogative to do. Now, there are some people who will not understand some of what persons out there were explaining in relation to some people living in conditions not conducive to staying inside, and they believe their family is the persons on the block, and inside is too small, too many people in the house. And again, I'm not excusing. I will go as far to say, yes, we have to deal with those individuals. But there are many people out there calling on shutting right down, shut down the supermarkets, shut down. Obviously, these are people, I believe, that are in a position to do so, that are in a position to withstand the shutting of supermarkets for 2 weeks. But we must spare thought that even if we go in that direction, that we must put things in place to ensure that those that may not be able to afford to stockpile some foods and supplies will still be able to survive and not starve to death. I want to say that if we go forward, of course, with this idea of a lockdown because a few are not complying, that what we are really doing is making life harder for those who are complying. And I want to say the majority of Barbadians, from my observation, are complying. I remember this thing was announced on Thursday. The AG gave details on the Friday. And it was supposed to take effect the Sunday. But even from the Friday, the road was like a ghost town. I drive around and I thought I was in a Western. I saw tumbleweeds going across the road. I have the unfortunate privilege of having to be on the road to do official business. And sometimes I see zero cars. It's like I'm driving in a nightmare, a horror movie. And like all humans have disappeared. So I am saying the majority are complying with the order. There will always be those in the society that would want to flaunt the law, that will want to show off, and that some out of ignorance, because they're not plugged into the society. I went to take some supplies to a family recently, and the mother came out and asked me, wait, with this COVID thing, we got any cases here yet in Barbados? But I almost envied her, because she is not, there are people that don't listen to Brass Stats, listen to the news, listen to the radio, They listen about the talk around them. So there are people who are not plugged into the seriousness of this. Am I saying to let them go and Corey excusing them? No, what I am saying is we have to make direct appeals to those pockets of those populations and or deal with them, make an example of them. And that was spread around. Change the narrative from these people ain't following it to Kadaria, how I treat them so. We have to change the narrative that they understand that these are serious times that we're living in. And if you were arrested or you will have to stay in a small confined space. So these are serious times. So I'm not saying we should flaunt it, but we need to deal with it in a way that we don't punish everybody for a few who refuse to follow the law. People are already under a lot of stress and strain. We do not need to add to it unnecessarily. That is my position. I will continue to hold that position. Now, whether it's enforced or not, that is not within my power, my purview, but that is the position that I hold. I see people overseas. You see people jumping out of buildings, committing suicide. The intestines and brains on the floor. Yes, they're getting graphic. But I want us to turn to the positive side of this before we go to the lines. And that is a video that I saw that inspired a lot of thoughts that I had before and gave me even more thoughts. The whole idea of parents being home with the children. When the children of today look back 20, 30, 40 years, they should remember mommy and daddy was home or mommy was home. I had two picnics with my 4 and 2 year old and wife this week that I never would have had outside of COVID. I had a lot of opportunity to reflect. A lot of parents get that opportunity to pause and be present in their lives. Families get to be together, albeit with resistance because we accustomed moving and doing and running. Not to mention Mother Earth, who got the chance to breathe. Just the other day, we were talking about 1.5 to stay alive. Well, we must get 5 or 6. Because some of these wildlife cameras are showing you now how Mother Nature, how nature in this short space of time, how it is rebounding without our presence. This is a positive. It is a positive, the creativity, the solidarity, the humanness, the unity. The sharing, the love that you're seeing, the artists doing the performances, people being creative. We may focus on the people being negative, the mischief people that sending out those things that need dealing with. We warn and we warn and we appeal and we appeal. Time to deal and deal. Everybody that forward those things as news should be dealt with. Yes, I said it, I'll say it again, or you can repeat. It should be back traced to the persons that create them and deal with them and deal with them publicly. Because there's lots of anxiety already. What do you need to add to it? Those are my thoughts. What are yours? To share your thoughts, you can give us a call at 434-1790. Or you can send your short readable WhatsApp to 266-IVOB 266. 4862. I can ask people to save that number. Sometimes I'm on the program and people are calling me, yes, calling me to ask me for the number. When I call back or check my voicemail, they were calling to ask me for the number. Sometimes other moderators are on and they're calling me for the number. One of these days you can have to call Brass that. So please save the number. It is 1-246-434-1790 and 266-4862. Before I take the next call, I want to make this last appeal. I like to keep my things short. We're going 10 minutes after 10. Last one. This thing with the chief fire officer appealing with the burning. Again, we passed the appeals. I spoke to the same chief and I checked the law about public nuisances and so on. We don't manage these things. We talk about the kites and we talk about the burning. And I remember saying years ago when Minister Don Valinis was the Minister of Health, that if he could deal with this burning thing, I feel it would move up, but he ain't vote free. Because people, they're burning and your clothes and your asthmatic family, and it's just a serious nuisance. You tell me you gotta get a burn permit, a fire permit to do a barbecue. And people could burn at will in the house and stink up your place and kill you because you can't get in the asthma beer just so. In time for appeal, according to what my research tell me, they tell me their amendment, somebody will have to send it to me. Is if someone is burning up by you, it is a fire, call the fire station. And when they come, they're supposed to investigate whether it was late on purpose or accidental. And if it is purposely, they're supposed to consult the police. That is my understanding of the law. I am not a lawyer, so somebody can call me and put me right. I have been wrong before. But that is what needs to be done with every fire until people are brought to Christian understanding that you cannot come and fumigate and funk out and kill people, take up the oxygen that they need. But that's enough for me. I want to hear from you. Down the Brass Stats. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you and the family?
The family, they're great. Mm-hmm. Me, I follow suit.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're talking about the fire. I haven't burned a fire now in 26 years. Because being asked, the only time I burned the fire, it was something happened with a lot of centipedes, so I decided to burn. But Corey, burning fire is not nice because people who's asthmatic and cannot breathe, it's terrible on them, you know? Mm-hmm. So and it takes days for that smoke to go down and then you can open your window. And it's really a nuisance when you're, because I'm a bad asthmatic. You understand? So mm-hmm. morning I get up and when I'm, even now, you can hear the voice crackling, you know? But what I'm saying now, someone asks me, she will not come on the radio. And where they're living, their station, you cannot get VOB, you know, in the St. Peter area?
Yes, I know it's terrible up there. Sometimes when you're driving, it just hears static.
Right. So sometimes they want to listen to the radio, and they cannot get it. Because when you're talking about cheering, so sometimes they go on their WhatsApp to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because they cannot hear the radio. Don't care what radio. They cannot pick up even CBC down there sometime mm-hmm. or VOB. Because right. I'm going along the road. And as I hit certain part, that's it. It's crackling. Mm-hmm. So,
if they have Wi-Fi data, anything, they could pick it up on VOB99.com.
Well, you know, at the moment, they cannot for the last year. They cannot because of things. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
So it's very hard for them. So if they, see certain thing on their WhatsApp and they get into certain area, they will send it or share it to their friends, you know? It's not that they want to, but then because they don't know how to get it. Even sometimes picking up the TV is very hard for them at the moment, you know, okay. because, you know, your TV got to have a signal. And, you know, so that's it. Anyway, next thing I want you to find out for me, I know this family, and it's a family of three children. They were doing their little work, like the mother did have 3 days, and the daughters have 1 and 2 days, and now they cannot work anymore. I would like to know, when will they able to get there? Because the mother was paying national insurance, and the workplace put her off now for 14 days. And she don't know what's going on. So I'm trying to tell her, you know, you should get some money. But the girls that was doing the 1 and 2 days, they won't get no money because they was only earning $50 for 7 hours work. So, you know, there is no money that's going to come in now. And I cannot call the person name. I call, and she said she's going to try her best. I wish I could call her name. But she's
no need to call the name. I could give you a number.
No, she's a very good lady, mm-hmm. and she's trying her best to find out from today what's going on with how they can get the money. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's very hard because they've got three children and three adults living together, and, you know, all the three adults was working, you know, in their little jobs, you know, but one was paying national insurance, but being laid off now for 14 days because she was doing housekeeping mm-hmm. and no guests coming in, so they lay her off for 14 days. So she don't know if she's entitled to any money or not. She was working there for 4 years. So it's very hard because right now she didn't get no money.
There are a number of programs government has put in place through the Ministry of People's Empowerment and Elder Affairs and also through the Prime Minister's Office, Household mm-hmm. Mitigation Unit, to ensure mm-hmm. those who have moved to zero income, no income, during this period, that they maintain a cushion or they maintain at least a minimum standard of living.
Yeah, they've never been to the welfare or any. They always make their own way, you know. But now with this shutdown and the firms are letting you go, you cannot blame them, because if you don't have no guests, are you going to pay somebody to go in and sit in the house to watch it? Mm-hmm. You understand? So as I say, I would like to know what's going on, because if, when I used to help, I could, but right now with this, you know, the bills and everything going now, you know, it, and the pounds is very low at the moment, I cannot help, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, fully understood. That is fully understood. You're able to help. And there are people, there are unsung heroes. I know that. That's what I'm saying. It's good that you are able to help.
I always helping people. That sometimes my husband looked at me one day and said, did you leave anything in the fridge or in the cupboard? And, you know, but now I have to be very careful, because we don't know how long this 19 going to last. You know, so all I can say that I pray to God that everything goes okay, and we don't get no more case, and people must stop in the supermarket. They're pushing, you know, you waiting outside, and they're pushing you. So, and if you move out the line to go away, you can't get in. And it's something like that. Need going back to something else now. Need, you know, looking into, because if the guards outside talking to the people are cussing the guards. So, what can happen? You mean everywhere you have to have police? We are big enough to know to respect the rules of the armed.
It's not for everybody, you know. It is for the few that seem to never understand the gravity of a situation. And of course, for me, the first job of the police should not be to go out there and share lashes or, you know, lock up our charge. It's to make an appeal, because, as I said, there are persons out there genuinely ignorant. They are. Of what is going on, and therefore they may need someone to give them a warning or to put the information to them directly, because they're not plugged into the society as we would want. They're disenchanted, they're disconnected. And after that, if you are belligerent, that is where then the force must come down, and you will be brought to Christian understanding. That is how I believe we should deal with this.
Anyway, Corey, you going to sing?
I'm thinking about it.
No.
I'm thinking about it. Listen, I hear a few, right, that actually took me from deciding to do it to think about it, because I believe that everybody can sing, but yes, it is how.
If the supermarket pay me, they will clear the supermarket.
Thank you, Winnie. Have a wonderful day. Donor Brastatz, good morning. You on the air?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Corey, good morning. Glenn Murray.
Sir Glenn Murray, good morning to you, sir.
Behave yourself. Behave yourself.
But
it is
what it is, sir. Good morning, man. You're trying to keep the spirit upbeat in these turbulent times, man.
Yeah, you must have been reading my mind, because lots of the things you mentioned, I've also crossed my mind. It's not a deal with today. But let me start by saying, you know, over the years, you hear me talk about the broken window theory and the need to nip back in the bud early.
Correct.
Otherwise, it becomes reinforced. It's difficult to re-educate, relearn, re-socialize those persons. So I say that because I'm sure you've also heard of the proverb, you sow the wind and reap the whirlwind.
Yes.
When we are now reaping the whirlwind of the lax attitude, the indifferent attitude, we all refusal over the years to nip certain misbehaviors in the bud, like the kite flying, the same stuff burning, the culture, the people refusing to obey traffic signs and traffic lights, not stopping at red lights, driving on one-way street. And people wink their yard and say, oh, well, sorry. And it becomes reinforced. It becomes their own learned behavior. It becomes their way of life, their perspective of life and feel. And this is translated into other areas. Where they feel they can afford to come their nose and defy authority and society because they have been allowed to do it that way. So therefore, what is this another little thing? And I think we have to use this opportunity to use the enforced confinement of people together where people can begin to re-educate, resource-related children, even at home. Mm-hmm. Like you said, parents have more time at home, but they say, use the opportunity.
Yes, I agree.
To impress on them, also teach them to read and write, all right?
And instill some morals, some education.
Right. Yeah, because you have the time on your hand now.
Correct.
And if you do that, we that would begin. It's not going to happen overnight because you're changing at least a generation, about 30 years of one type of behavior. And what we're dealing with is indiscipline.
Mm-hmm.
If the social distancing. I think that stems to, I say all the socials, some of this misbehavior around the COVID stems from fear and irrational behavior, at least irrational behavior, and also lack of information,
mm-hmm.
right? When people are fearful and they're anxious, they become even more irrational and emotional than before. What we need, therefore, are ways to counter that. And I feel that I think we need a messaging. The messaging, when you start talking about social distancing, new phrase, new concept. There's an abstract concept for the average variant. When you talk about community spreading, I'm saying let's translate these buzzwords, these jargon into bitable, absorbable concepts and words and phrases that Barbadians, that soaks into the thinking and culture of Barbadians, can absorb them.
And that's the major difference there, Glenn, between talking or speaking and communicating. There's a difference. You can speak till the cows come home, but communicating is speaking in such a way that people understand and can interpret and then act upon what you said. And that
I
is what
said
it,
before, mm-hmm. this, we are in a crisis, and there's a special feeling of crisis to communicate. Crisis communication.
Correct.
Where your language, your mm-hmm. tone, your approach, your techniques are different from regular PR communicating publicity. Mm-hmm. And I see that, as I said before, I think that is one of the mistakes being made in messaging. Social distancing, the person who never heard of social distancing doesn't mean what they. Keep far from one another.
Correct.
So, those are things. And if we need to stop leaving it at a conceptual, abstract thing, and produce visuals. People are highly visual. That's why they watch TV, that's why they go on the tablets. Produce visuals on television. Right? I'm other thing, but visual on television, etc. You can put it on your tablet, send it as all the various social media. Where people could see how this thing translates into their culture and their behavior. Otherwise, they feel it doesn't concern them because they don't relate to it.
All right, Glenn, I need you to stick a pin there, just entering the studio. I don't know if you enter as moderator or station manager, but I have with me Mr. David Ellis. Good morning and welcome, sir.
I seldom come into the studio as station manager. when I'm on air, I'm just David Ellis.
Yes, sir.
All those who want to refer to me as station manager, I would wish that they would desist from that. But anyhow, I just heard from the Attorney General, and he says that circular, that information that's been going around about a state of emergency is certainly false, completely false. It is not true. The press secretary did issue a statement earlier, and he said basically it looked like a piece of malicious behavior on the part of someone. As the government sets about trying to establish exactly what has happened there, we just want you to know that for the time being, that information is false. I should also share with you, Corey, I have observed this morning coming through Bridgetown that the lines are better.
Mm.
People are spacing this morning at the supermarkets and at the commercial banks in Bridgetown. The message is finally getting across to Barbadians that social distancing is absolutely necessary. So that was a positive that I saw.
I appreciate it. I think we turned up the ante a bit here in the media and with the cooperation of business places and the public. I think that, David, I can only anticipate that we would only see improvement going forward because this is all new for all of us. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was my colleague, Mr. David Ellis, making sure he brought that confirmation that it is fake. It is somewhat of a very bad April Fool's joke where someone believed who had time and had certainly talent because it's drafted pretty neatly and nicely to me, worded well, that circular. So Barbados, if you're seeing a circular go wrong, it is fake, and I think we should leave it there. And as my colleague had advised, don't give it more legs than it needs. An old person was trying to get a joke out. Well, the joke is over. Let's move on. and don't give them what they require, that attention. So I want to thank my colleagues for bringing that information. My colleague for bringing that information. 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. Just as we broke, was talking to Glenn. I want to thank Glenn. We can pick up on that conversation. I want to thank David for coming in, giving us the information as well, confirming information of the fake April Fool's Gazette. On my systems here, I'm warning to the chat. There's the debate whether, you know, we should know it is fake or not. As some people would remind us that in order for something to go into the Gazette, it should be debated and gone through Parliament and thing by the Governor General. In these emergency power times, people will be unsure of the exact procedure. And again, when you look at civics and people being plugged into various parts of society at different levels, a lot of people would not know that. So that is why we have to have public information and also use this as an opportunity to encourage people to be involved in civics going forward. The other thing is I see a lot of debate over physical distancing and social distancing and which we should use. And you could look at it as social distancing as we're not socializing anymore, because that's still physical. We still socialize. So it's socializing distancing and not necessarily social media distancing. So it can be either or, in my opinion. But as Glenn was saying, in terms of crisis communication, keep from one another. That there sums it up well. Brastats, good morning. You on the air?
Hi, good morning, Corey.
Hi, morning, sir.
Yes, basically I want to get some information. The Attorney General had made mention of giving out passes or supplying persons who would be deemed, like, for example, private security officers and things like that, passes so that they would have the ability to travel during shutdown. Because we've got, for my part, we've got clients, properties, a lot of people have ramped up their security. A lot of these sites, construction sites, which you would know have been closed and they're now under 24-hour security. So the concern is that the passes that are to be issued, which department in government or who the contact would be to get these passes issued. And then also, we've had to bring back in persons, just like the Attorney General was saying, he would have probably bring back in some retired police officers. We've had to bring back in security officers that had stopped doing security but were licensed at one time. But license might not be valid now because they had stopped them from doing other jobs. Mm-hmm. So we've had to actually call back with some of these people. So I would like to know what the position would be if the company that they're working for should issue them with a letter so in the event that they are stopped on the road by the police.
These are security people?
Security officers, yes.
But don't they have a license? They could use their license in that case.
Yes, some have a license, but as I was explaining, mm-hmm. because of a lot of companies, I think I'm not the only one in this position, we've had to call back or bring back officers who might have stopped being active security guards.
Once they bring that back out, they will have to be issued with some instrument, though, so and they can use that. Let me answer the first question. And I've spoken to the Attorney General about this personally, so I can speak with this with some authority. And that is that he is the sole person that gives the permission for the exemption. So the application need to go to him. And I think it has to be emailed, but you have to call the Attorney General's office. And right. Could find out. I don't know. I could probably get it, but then I would just probably overwhelm him even more because he is receiving a number of them per day. And I want to appeal to Barbadians. I mean, you may have a legitimate claim, but I want to appeal to Barbadians generally. If you really, really absolutely, absolutely do not have to get an exemption or go on the road, just relax yourself. And I can tell you why. Some people are trying to use all kind of clever excuses and reasons to make it seem as though it's legitimate to get out there. And if you excuse a number of people, it defeats the purpose of having the lockdown in or partial lockdown to start with. So I am appealing, please, because getting 200 exemption applications per day and one sole person have to go through them cannot be easy. It is not something that he can delegate to others to do. So I just want to make that appeal to people. It's 2 weeks in the first instance. Let's write it out. On the security aspect, I would imagine, as I say, once you bring back people, they will have to be issued with instrument. The Attorney General spoke about sending persons a link that they bring on that will put a barcode in the phone and providing the police with barcode readers or QR readers to read such. So that is the last piece of official information that we got here.
Right, I understand that. But in the interim, that has not been done as yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was talked about, but it was not done.
Right. And the other thing, apart from that, let me add quickly, is that they were saying the caveat to all of this is that if you are found on the road with a legitimate reason, so I believe that will be between the officer and the person, whether it is legitimate, the security that they're providing, and if they could find some way of proving that they, like, for instance, call the company, call who bring back, call who they're going to secure, whatever, and be able to prove that you are on the road for some type, so for some legitimate reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to, well, obviously, I can't get all the Attorney General's office. I was trying to get some information from the police as to whether or not, if, for example, my company were to issue me in employees, well, mm-hmm. somebody wants to have brought back on that don't have licenses that are valid at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, as I said, we had to bring them back on in the emergency because everybody shut down at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. The police should still be open, and the Ministry of Defense, that's security guards.
Well, I read the Ministry of Defense and Security, but mm-hmm. you know what? One goes to the other. Right now, you have to have a police certificate of character, valid mm-hmm. one, to get to the issue of the security license.
And they should still be doing those because they're very happy that they're doing them online now, and they're doing them faster. They said, I heard it in an ad. I don't know. I ain't try it, so I don't know. But they said they're doing them online. And they're doing them faster.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So any other further?
We will try that. Mm-hmm. But in the interim, if it's possible, as I said, I get issue each of my officers with a letter, an official letter with the letterhead from the company, a stamp that they are employed by the company and obviously maybe traversed. I'm trying to get everybody on a schedule where they're getting to work mm-hmm. before the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But in some instances, you may have somebody that may call in sick, and you may need to rotate somebody or move somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just want to make sure we cover all the bases. But that was one of my main concerns.
Makes sense. All right, no problem. I hope I've been able to answer some of your queries. And one of the things that I did coming out of Sunday's program is to kind of collect all of the questions, and some of these were included. I mean, it was almost 1,000, over 1,000 questions, which were really, when you put them together, 812 questions, and sent them to GIS. GIS is working with the information officer that each would apply, so Attorney General, Ministry of Health, etc., to get all the answers. And I don't think they can pile all out there one time because it ain't going to stick, but they can be using that to inform the communication going forward. So I just don't want people to believe that you send the things here, nobody listen, nobody answer. But all of these questions are being monitored by various agencies to get them to where they need to go. And then we in the media stand ready to get them out to you, the public. Okay? All right, thank you very much. Brad Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Corey.
Hey, morning.
Hey, you got quite a bit to say this morning. And it's not designed to panic people, because running away from a problem don't necessarily solve it. Since this COVID-19 came about, I've been going on my phone to research YouTube and other stations. I saw Italy, and I hope people who are trying to tribulate this thing wake up. Italy have 3,405 deaths, more than China, more. So people who are not adhering to the law and the advice that's given, I hope they wake up, because you may affect someone, and that someone might affect your child,
mm-hmm.
not knowingly doing it. So take this thing serious. Another thing that I would advise, the white and those kind of things are fastly selling in the supermarket. What I have done, I have bought a roller, you know, the cloth tissues, fold them neatly, put them in a clear plastic bag, get some Clorox water poured into the bag, cut it to keep it moist, and then use them. You can create your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, please.
I won't do it with the alcohol, because the alcohol is going to evaporate quickly. But when you tie that plastic bag, it keeps it moist, and you can put them in such a way that you won't have to disturb all of them. You can put them out, like cat a corner, whatever, and use them. So you spoke about, because he's talking to people and all of that. I agree with your point, right? But I see what the police should be doing is arresting those people and calling them before the law courts where they should be severely punished. What I'm saying that, you ever went in a bank and find people behaving in a disorderly manner? They abide by the bank laws. They don't jump off the counter and take up their money. It's theirs. But you can't jump where they can, but you know what will happen if you do it. Why can't people apply these principles throughout their life? And when you line up and do things in an orderly way, the lines tend to move faster. I had an experience in a supermarket recently with a guy. The supermarket have the line. You go to the cashier, they stand in line with the cashier, call you, go. It was my turn to go to the cashier. This guy can't write that to me. I said, Skipper, what are you doing here? You're in city line. Who came you to saw? As a girl. And the reason I'm a girl because I trimmed my beard as a girl, and he had a lot more to say. So what I did, I packed my haversack, took out everything. I also had a fire truck, my own plastic bag. I took out everything and gently had them back. I called for 10 Pastor Andrews, and they paid for each one individually. That was to teach him a lesson. Luckily, the supermarket wasn't bothered about what he wanted. He had to get on that particular cashier. Right? There's ways of dealing with problems. Now, yesterday I spoke to Peter about sick leave and the seriousness of it, but there's something I forgot to say. I call, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a guy who have had two heart attacks, who have been on sick leave for 1 year and 3 months. You can't be on official sick leave for 1 year with pay. After that, there's nothing for you coming from. But after the year, all information should be sent before the medical board. No such thing has happened. I called the chief personal officer's office. I spoke to her secretary. I made that call 3 Tuesdays ago at 5 minutes past 10. I was told that the chief was on the phone call. I said, okay, I can't hold on. Why I have to tell her what to 5 minutes? I proceeded to tell the secretary what it was all about. Having done that, I was told she had a meeting at 11 o'clock. Now, when I label people, right, if I have a good day, all I'm going to say is, when you are in a position where you can assist another human being, do it.
All right. I think that's good advice. And wherever you could assist another human being, you should do it. And I think as you make your appeals, I would hope that the people that have the power within them to make these improvements for us all can do so. Brass Stats, good morning. You on the air.
Peace be unto you, Corey.
And same to you.
To the staff, .com, and to all the listeners. Corey, I know you from, I guess, the primary school. And I follow you to a wonderful family man and someone who cares about society and the youth. I know you love your children. Yesterday, I was so upset and hurt. Around midday, I mean, big hard back guys out on a basketball playing basketball in the hot sun. So, you know, when you're playing basketball, you got to block each other. Mm-hmm. You're blocking each other. You're trying to get the ball from each other.
Correct. You can't maintain the distance required.
Right.
Yes.
Children in the gap riding boat, running boat. I heard somebody calling on Sunday. I asked the Attorney General, they got some carpentry to do. And if it is warm, but it can come, he said no. No. You still hear pounding and sawing and things. When people still assembling at shops and things near to each other.
But this is not something we need to gripe about, you know. I made it abundantly clear in my opening. These people, they need to be spoken with, right? Now, people may not agree with that because they think, I said it once, everybody should then hear, then know, and obey. It doesn't work like that. But if we want to be like that, because some of us, I think they say it's in our DNA from slavery, right? We like to lick and lock up,
that
right?
Is true.
So if we don't want to speak to them, then we go and bulldoze them then. Then we lock them up, as he said, drag them before the court, put police in contact with them, put the people in court in contact with them, put the prison officers in contact with them, because that makes more sense. But I would like to humbly suggest that we speak with them before we do that. And if they do not want to hear, as I was told, the czar say, hard ears you wouldn't hear, or
right,
where
or
you
where
gonna feel. So I don't think we have to come here and just gripe and bemoan the few people that are out. You see those few, and why I say it's few, it may seem like a lot. But if you think of an entire nation, right, of people, and when you look outside, when you listen, when you look across the landscape, and you don't see the moving lights anymore, you recognize that the majority of the country is inside. Okay, you see those few, as someone here suggests, the police and the BDF can be everywhere. They could use drones or they could go to places as people report. So they could be, you could call the COVID hotline, I imagine, and say, listen, John Brown shop, Michelle shop around the corner, open and people out there gathering. And you warn the establishments of the bars and things too. You say, listen, call, you know that them is be very focused on their bottom line. They say, listen, if you do not police this, we are shutting you down. And you see the benches and the chairs and thing. Just like in Sheraton, you can see them disappear one day, poof, like smoke in the ear.
Hello?
I hear listening to you.
Right. I have a beautiful, adorable, blessed 4-month-old granddaughter. Great-grand.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother have to work with the traveling public. And that thing hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like to. I know we have to die, but I would feel real bad to know that I lost my great grand and my grandchild because you don't know really who have it. You might go in, good, and then you care to show your family, your sister, your brother, your grandmother, somebody. You go in places, and although they tell you sanitize, as the sergeant said, it start with one.
Mm-hmm.
One, and we have 34 now.
Correct.
This thing, I can't sleep at night. That child just tear me in my face.
Ma'am, one of the things I want to highlight to you, though, is not being highlighted a lot, and that is the recovery rate. Because and the reason I want to highlight that is so that we understand, yes, this is extremely serious. But we have to maintain hope and balance. We must. I have to break with you right now. I believe we have Dwayne Paul from the Barbados Workers Union on the line. And it's very important to hear from the Barbados Workers Union because there's been lots of back and forth in relation to holiday pay being sent on leave and so on. This certainly is not my lane. It is his. So I say good morning and welcome to you, Dwayne. Hi, good morning, Dwayne.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, this is Mr. Dwayne Paul from the Barbados Workers Union.
It is.
Yes, please. Of course, you would be aware that there have been lots of anxiety among employees in relation to these uncertain times and being laid off versus being sent on leave, mandatory vacation pay, all these different things. What I've heard and what I'm understanding, you can help me, is that some employers have sent people and used this opportunity to send people on leave. Some people didn't are on vacation. Some people didn't want to take their vacation. It was said in the law, you must have the 14 days notice. Some people were saying, although it's in the law, these are funny times. And the advice has been that employers and employees should probably negotiate this. What is the position of the Barbados Workers Union, and what advice can you give to employees and employers in this time of uncertainty and anxiety?
All right, Corey, up to yesterday, and the General Secretary of the Barbados, with beginning of 2021, would have addressed this topic. And I believe an article is also carried in one of the local papers this morning, speaking to our position on this matter.
Mm-hmm.
We respect the law, and we have to uphold the law. The situation does not give rise to anybody's reinterpretation of the law or reapplication of the law. The law is still what the law is. And if we're going to remain a society of people who have a certain value and a certain standard, then you cannot use a medical crisis as a crutch to just set aside the law and do what we want to do, whatever our intentions is. We always have heard the adage about what good intentions are. You have to follow what the prescriptions are. We have put that clear to the employers, and we put that clear to the workers that it's a choice, it's a discussion that has to take place. Where we are finding in some cases that some employers have not engaged in that conversation, and they're thinking, well, they had to make decisions quickly. The reality is that as soon as some person's businesses took an impact, they automatically moved to try to rid themselves of their employees. And that was unfortunate, because to us, you could have at least looked to make sure you had the conversation with the employees, even if it meant paying them for an additional day. But some companies did not want to pay the employees even for one more day than they thought they had to, and therefore took it upon themselves not to be compliant with the legislation. We are hopeful that at the appropriate time, that these matters will be dealt with, and not just swept under the carpet, because we are still waiting to hear, for example, what will happen with the chinchin situation, which is a clear violation of the law as well. We are encouraging the workers and ourselves as their representatives are engaging in conversations with a number of business partners in terms of trying to find the best ways to do this. And employees, yes, can, with the appropriate conversations, exercise that option to go on holiday once an employer is willing to grant it. One of the things that we are finding, though, in terms of trying to navigate that, is some employers are not even willing to, when you're talking about holiday, holiday is something that is accrued on a monthly basis, holiday is accrued. And in some cases, you will have workers whose accrued holidays may not be a full week. It may be a day or two short or day short of the week. And instead of saying, well, okay, let's give you the weekend and basically advance you a day additional vacation, some employers are of the view that, well, your accrued holiday is only 4 days. We only going to give you 4 days. So when we are seeing that people are being allowed to take a vacation, the conversation is missing a lot of the key fundamental things that really need to be put out there and to show really and truly where the partnership is. So you might want me to bring forward my holiday, but you might only want to give me what you've already owed me. So you're really not giving me anything, because you're only giving me the days, for example, that I have earned. You're not investing anything in me either. So there's a lot of conversation behind the conversation that really needs to be drilled down in. We are spending a lot of time working with our membership and managing these conversations, and in full respect of what the law outlines. Because if we start with this, then what else will we just sacrificing the interest of expediency?
Now, I understand we have to fight for the workers and labor. Does labor or the union give any serious consideration to what capital is going to say in terms of the losing of revenue, and how are we going to afford to do this and that? What is the union's position on that?
The arguments on both can be carried on both sides. As for the employers losing revenue, a worker is losing income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter, as I said, each case has to be taken on its own and investigated on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem that you have within capital as well is that there are some people who can do but are not willing.
Yes, yes, you're correct there.
So it's not a matter of all two, one shoe fits everybody.
Right, okay. Right? So we are open up for some compromise on both ends.
Conversations on either side, and we are putting different things in place, company by company, as we go. The same discussion for everybody. And as I said, there are some companies more amenable to certain support for their employees versus others. And there's a difference between those who can do and those who are willing to do. So the conversations are vast and they're varied.
Now, each case will be unique in its own, as you said. Now, if there are employees who necessarily not very familiar with the law and industrial operations, and where should they go for their information? Who should they call? Who should they ask? Who should they speak to? Because we got lots of questions via WhatsApp on this.
Right now, the Barbados Workers Union has posted on its page the contact information for all of its industrial relations officers who are working. Still, although we are not physically in the office, you can call 573-5017. That will also put you in connection with the officers that are on duty throughout the day. And you can also send your email. An email can also be sent to, just make sure confirm the email address. Don't want to give the wrong email address.
And again, I ask you to at least repeat the numbers. And again, I ask people out there wondering, you know, get your phones in your hand or a little pencil, or as you would say, the black light, and you know, be able to jot these down, because it's best to get the correct information the first time. Yeah, go ahead, Dwayne.
Right, the phone number. Just give me a minute, making sure I pull back up the correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the phone number is 573-5017.
Right, 573-5117.
573-5017.
5017. See, just repeat it to make sure for emphasis.
And the email is
I as in ice cream, R as in Renier, D as in
I as in ink, R as in D as in Dwayne, at BWU dot ORG dot BB. Boy.
Excellent. IRD at BWU dot ORG dot BB. All right. I want to thank you very much for coming online at this short notice to give some kind of information and answering some of the queries that many people have been, you know, many persons wrote in here, they asked, and we've been able to share that with them. I've saved the number here, so anyone during the day, we'll be able to repeat it. So I want to thank you very much for bringing clarity to the matter. 3 minutes before 11 o'clock, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats.